You know, it doesn't take a genius. All you gotta do is follow the money.
This is Follow the Money on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard.
This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Good morning. Good Wednesday to you. It is Sports Map Radio, and it is Wake Up Call. We are right in the middle of the week, and that means we've got games in the NFL that were done and still analyzed. And then we look forward to the week six. We're already at week six. And yesterday, Jerry Jones on a Dallas radio station, 105.3 The Fan, backed as quarterback Dak Prescott. Now, remember when Robert Saleh did this with the Jets? Remember when Zach Wilson had to step in and they lost Aaron Rodgers and everyone was heartbroken and Saleh had to go out and sell Zach Wilson? That's what you're supposed to do. You do not get on the podium and start saying, man, we're doomed. We're dead. There's nothing we can do. It looks like the season's over. We don't trust this kid. No, you go out there and you give him the public support, even if behind the scenes you're figuring out something, you're working on a trade, whatever it may be. And Jerry Jones is doing the same thing. He's following in the same book. Now, I like it when people jump on Jerry Jones' comments because he is one of the owners that in sports that likes the media. He likes to talk. He's the general manager of the team. He likes being able to go out there and make comments about the thing he owns. So this is what he said to the fan in Dallas. Quote, make no mistake about it. We have a quarterback that can get us there. I completely believe that we have the quarterback that can take us where we want to go. Dak Prescott is a quarterback that can get us to the Super Bowl, and that's the way it's going to be. I want to be really clear. Dak is capable of taking this team where we want to go. Now, of course, this came after they lost 42-10 to the San Francisco 49ers, and the third straight loss to the Niners, two of those being in the playoffs. So if there's a team that's got another team's number, it's San Francisco having it over Dallas. Now, does that mean that he is 100% in on Dak Prescott when the time comes to re-sign him? That's kind of a question that people want to know. All right, are you that committed to this guy? Because look, a Tuesday radio hit in the middle of the season is not where you're going to get the real answer to where this organization is with Dak Prescott. I always find we talked about this during the preseason, I find the relationship between the NFL fan community, and I include everybody in this, not just Cowboy fans, but everybody, and Dak Prescott, because it's a really bizarre relationship. Because Dak Prescott is unfortunately for him, hovering in the go, no-go zone. He's not elite enough where he's unquestionably the leading quarterback for your team, regardless of struggles. Josh Allen can have a couple of bad games. No one in Buffalo believes they should jettison Josh Allen out of town. The same thing with Justin Herbert and, of course, Mahomes and Trevor Lawrence and quarterbacks like that, Joe Burrow, quarterbacks like that. He's not at that level. When the Dallas Cowboys win games, how often do we say they won despite Dak Prescott? Not very often. But when they lose, it's get them out of town. And that's something the other quarterbacks that are on the elite level that are getting the $50-plus million contracts don't have to worry about. There's nobody calling for the head of any of those elite-level quarterbacks or looking around to see who would be a more suitable replacement. Jerry Jones is saying the right things that you would want to say in the middle of a season. Support your quarterback. Support your team. You have nowhere else to go. You're not going with Trey Lance the rest of the way. The season's too valuable. The Dallas Cowboys are a good football team. They just lost to a better team and lost by a lot to a better team. So it sort of wakes up the idea that, okay, in the NFC, we may be a playoff team, but there is a team that is better than us, and we've got to figure out how to be better than them. So you're not going to do it by going on a radio show and talking badly about your quarterback in a season that's still extremely salvageable from the standpoint of getting to where you want to go in the playoffs. But remember this, Jerry Jones acquired Trey Lance in the offseason with a trade with San Francisco that he did not consult anybody on. Now, again, he's the owner and the GM, and he doesn't have to. But it is common practice for people to have an internal discussion about acquisitions such as this. Now, again, it's a little different because Jones is the owner, and in the end, the buck stops with him, and he's the boss. Now, if you were to do this in Denver, let's say George Patton was going to acquire a quarterback, like, let's say he was going to trade for Kirk Cousins or something, just hypothetical. He would be discussing it with ownership. He would be discussing it with Sean Payton. They would be having internal discussions about it. That's not on that same level, because if you bring in Kirk Cousins, you want him to play. But you hear my point. My point is that anytime you acquire a quarterback, especially, you are in a discussion internally in the building. Well, Jones did not have any of those discussions in the building with anybody. He just did it, which is his right as the owner. But if you put on the Jerry Jones GM hat, that says a lot. That he wasn't willing to discuss this with the head coach. He wasn't willing to discuss this with anybody, to be honest with you. Now, so you can read into the comments that he made, again, on his radio hit at the Fan in Dallas, as just simple PR spin. That's all this is, right? It's not news. It's expected. What would have been news is if he had ripped Dak Prescott to shreds and said change is coming. That would have been news. Supporting your quarterback at this time is not news, because that's how the game is played. But the question is going to be, where does Dallas go when it comes time to re-sign Dak Prescott? Is he worth the $50-plus million that the other quarterbacks are getting? Because the market is dictating that. If you're going to be the head coach, the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, and you have your owner sitting down in a room and says he wants you to be the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, then you better be talking about the kind of money that the current quarterbacks are getting, even if your talent isn't up to that level. What benefits NFL quarterbacks so much in their discussions in meetings about their contracts isn't their statistics. Even though fans think it's about statistics, it's not. It's about availability. It is the big question that you have to ask as an organization. Who else are we going to get? And if that answer is slim pickings, then you've got to pay the guy you want. Again, it's not an money is never an evaluation of talent. Because one guy gets X doesn't mean he's better than the guy that gets less. It just means he hit the market at the right time. He hit the quarterback drought at the right time. Teams panic when they don't have a quarterback. Teams panic when they don't have a quarterback that can win them games enough to give them a shot in the playoffs. Whether you like his arm strength, his inability to look downfield, his inability to be patient with the football, all of the things that people are critical about Dak Prescott, the reality is he gets that team double-digit victories and puts them in the playoffs. So when it's time to pay him, Jerry Jones is going to have to decide, do I dump that to try to go in another direction from the start? And am I old enough to last long enough to see that come to fruition? Or do I roll the dice with a guy that gets us in the postseason and maybe, just maybe, our path may avoid some traps and get us to the Super Bowl? And I think that's where they're going to be heading. Now, again, the Trey Lance thing is really interesting to me because I have zero idea why he did this. Right? I have zero idea why he did this. Oh, is the entire NFL universe believing that Trey Lance, who has a very small sample size coming off an injury, but was the third overall pick, is the entire NFL world thinking that this was not only a bust, but a guy that should have never been picked anywhere near the first round at all? Or does Jones think that because the environment in San Francisco just wasn't there for him, meaning, you know, he was the starter, he got hurt, another kid came in, he was better, that's just the way the ball bounces, you need a fresh start. That is just the interesting angle to this. But like I said at the beginning of this, Dak Prescott hovers in this area that's very complicated. You know, Kenny Pickett is going to be doing that soon. If Kenny Pickett continues to play like this at Pittsburgh, he's going to be on that same level too, where the Steelers might have to go, yeah, he's good, but is he good enough? in Dallas, Dak Prescott has a playoff resume. Again, this is a team that won 12 games in back-to-back years. He'll get you those victories. Again, you can criticize his arm strength, or you can criticize his inability to be patient on downfield throws. There's a lot of things that Dak Prescott's critics have mentioned over and over again, that he's mediocre at reading defenses. I mean, I've heard it all. But the reality of it is Dallas, the way they're constructed, wins enough games to be relevant in the conversation for a Super Bowl. But as we saw Sunday night, they're not relevant enough to think that it's them and them and them and that's it. No, there's this clear hierarchy right now in the NFC, and they're not there. That's what Sunday's game meant. Sunday night's game was not two very good teams playing where one had a bad night and it's just it becomes 42-10, but whatever. Deebo Samuel made a comment that said the next time they play, it could be worse. And he's right. He's right. That's how good San Francisco is, and that's how easy it looked against the Dallas Cowboys. That's not a bad, that's not a very, very good team having a really, really bad night. That was one team that knew exactly how to beat the other team. And Dallas has to figure that out, even if they're uncomfortable with the idea of where their future quarterback is going to come from. Is it Prescott? Will it be Lance? Will it be somebody they have to draft and start all over again? But I find Prescott's place in the NFL crazy, because I think in the end, he's at that point where you go, I trust him, but I don't at the same time. And yet he's probably going to get $50+ million from Dallas when it's all said and done. All right, we'll continue. It's Wake Up Call on a Wednesday morning. We got a lot to get to. We're going to get to some NHL. We're going to get to some Major League Baseball. Of course, National Football League and college football. It's all coming up on Wake Up Call.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sportsnap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, as we continue on. Hey, congratulations to the Texas Rangers. Boy, Baltimore, we hardly knew you.
That was disappointing,
quick.
Right?
Yeah, that's really disappointing. They won 101 games this past season.
Two issues I have with it. One, I didn't really get a chance to see. Like, most people really didn't get a chance to see them play because all their games were mid-afternoon.
Yeah.
So, you know, you don't really get – we didn't get a primetime event out of the Orioles to sit down and watch them. And by the time we get a chance to, they're gone. They're out.
Yeah, blink, gone. Rangers hit a bunch of home runs. Corey Seager, Nathaniel Lowe, Aroldis Garcia all went deep in their 7-1 victory, and that's it for the Orioles. Goodbye. Take a seat. By the way, the AL East, this unbelievable division that gave us three playoff teams, 0-7
yeah.
in the postseason.
Wow.
Toronto gone quickly. Tampa Bay gone quickly. Orioles gone quickly. And that was it. Good night. See you later. And the Rangers are in the ALCS for the first time since 2011. So it worked. Whatever they did, it worked. They got a new manager in Bruce Bochy. They got a new general manager. They went out and like, all right, fine, we'll buy players. What the heck? We got a new stadium. We got a big influx of cash. You, come on over. And they did it. And now they're in the ALCS. Could face the Astros, who beat Minnesota. Now lead that series 2-1 as the Astros win 9-1. That'd be a nice little Texas ALCS.
You know, it could be interesting.
Yeah.
I think Rangers-Astros would probably score better than Twins-Rangers.
How is the Rangers-Astros rivalry? Is it a deep one?
There's a little bit of animosity.
They're in the division. They play each other a lot.
You know, I mean, it's a that stereotypical Houston versus Dallas, blue-collar versus white-collar thing.
There is a Dallas-Houston rivalry.
Yeah. I mean, it's more reserved for football because, right, let's face it, it's Texas. But there is a baseball rivalry. Plus, these two teams do have history with each other as far as, like, you know, not great history. It was in 2017 when Hurricane Harvey hit here?
Yeah.
And the Astros had a home series that they wanted to move. I think it was against the Rangers. And they wanted to switch places with the Rangers and go, hey, Ranger fans, can we play at your place? Because our place is underwater. And then when we have a series later on in the month that is supposed to be in Arlington, why don't we just have that in Houston? Be a swap. Very simple, very easy.
Yeah.
And the Rangers said, kick dirt or kick cans or whatever. And that's why that series against the Rangers was played in Tampa.
Oh, wow. The Rangers said no to that?
The Rangers said no.
Like, even when you have sports rivalries, you kind of go, okay, but it's a hurricane.
Yeah. Like, you make a certain allowances.
Like, let's not go crazy with this. You know, we may not like you on the field, and we might have this friendly, hated rivalry, but when push comes to shove, we're not gonna let it bleed into our sympathy for your city if it's underwater because of a hurricane. That's terrible.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, they could. If Minnesota doesn't come back in this series, it could be Houston versus Texas in the ALCS.
And it could be, was it tonight?
Tonight.
Tonight. They played together tonight. The Astros had their game moved. It was going to be an afternoon start, but now that the Orioles and Rangers are wrapped up, they get the 6 p.m. start.
Yeah, that's right. And you get three games
7 p.m.
today.
7
you
Eastern,
the,
right?
Two games in the National League. Mm-hmm. You got the Atlanta-Phillies series. That's game three. That's knotted up in one.
Yep.
And then the Diamondbacks at Chase Field tonight could wrap up their series with the Dodgers, leading 2-0.
And they will.
And Lance Lynn is pitching for the Dodgers. So there's a very good chance Arizona is moving on to the NLCS.
Listen, I love me some Dodgers, right? I grew up watching them. I don't know any of these starting pitchers.
I was thinking about that with Bobby Miller. I'm like, I don't think I've seen Bobby Miller pitch this season.
And I started really thinking about it. I'm like, you know, Clayton Kershaw is old and, you know, has postseason issues. And, you know, so we saw what happened in postseason once again. I don't want to pinpoint that he has postseason issues, but he does. Walker Buehler is out. Dustin May, I don't know if his career is done.
Yeah.
Because he's you know, he just cannot come back from this Tommy John surgery.
And then
Julio Urias is dealing with some issues.
He's dealing with some personal issues.
Some personal issues.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. And Brandon Pfaadt is going for the Diamondbacks tonight.
Who's probably remarkable because I don't know any of the Diamondbacks. He's probably a Cy Young candidate for all I know.
Three games on your schedule tonight. In Major League Baseball.
Do you find it funny, though, that it's like two West teams, you know, going head-to-head against two East teams going head-to-head?
It is kind of cool.
And that, you know, I mean, you know, do we want that? Would we rather have East versus West in this divisional round or just wait for it to be a conference championship round?
No, I don't know. That's a good question. I kind of like the familiarity at this level of the division series between the teams. But I don't know. It's interesting. But, yeah, three games in Major League Baseball tonight. But, yeah, goodbye Baltimore. It was kind of sad. I was actually kind of sad because they were a fun story. I mean, they were a team that had been rising up. They had been awful a couple of years ago. They've been rising up. And that's the problem with baseball. One of the problems with baseball is it's quickness in the postseason. It's not like anything else. The NFL has one game series, but there's a week buildup to the game. So when you get to the wild card round, even if it's bye-bye, you know, after Saturday or Sunday, whenever that game is scheduled in the opening round of the playoffs, at least you have a week where everyone is talking about you. Everyone is noticing you. The media is coming to your practices. They're kind of, you're going to press conferences, all that stuff. It's building up, building up, building up, building up. In basketball, we know that the first round of the NBA playoffs take a month and a half to finish out. You play Wednesday, and then you play game two like on Monday the following week. It takes forever. So, and because it's a best of seven, it's a very drawn out because they space the games. So it may take a couple of weeks in a seven-game series to wrap it up. In baseball, you're playing two games, a day off to travel, and then the rest of the series. And if you lose it in three games in a best of five, you're over quickly. I mean, this stuff started on Saturday. And the Orioles barely got to be known. In a blink of an eye, they were done. And this is where you get, you know, because baseball is so local that in order to really pop on the national scene, think about where the Orioles lost their games, right? They lost on Saturday, Sunday. Two football weekends. And then they lost on yesterday, which might have been the only time some casual sports fans tuned in to watch them play. If that. I mean, they were hidden in the postseason because they couldn't extend the series. Same thing in the wild card round. Wild card round, it's over in a blink of an eye. I mean, you just wake up one day and you're like, oh my God, they're done. Yep, they're done. It's 2 out of 3. At least to get to the NLDS, ACS, and the ALCS, at least best of seven, and you get a little bit more a chance to sort of work it into the calendar a little bit better. But yeah, the Orioles, who won 101 games, caught the eye of everybody. Wow, look at this. This is amazing. Great story, et cetera, et cetera. Over, just like that. Just like that. And the Texas Rangers moving on. And so they will wait to see if the Astros and the Twins tonight will wrap up that series, or will that go to a deciding game five at Minute Maid Park, which I believe would be scheduled for Friday, if I'm not mistaken. So that, and then we would have the two championship series coming up. All right, so the NFL starts week six, starts on Thursday night, the Denver Broncos and the Kansas City Chiefs. Denver is a 15-game losing skid against Kansas City. The last time the Chiefs lost, Patrick Mahomes wasn't playing for them, of course, but Peyton Manning was. That's how long this losing skid is gone. And you think about all the things when we talk about the Broncos, and we talk about all the quarterbacks that have come and gone since Peyton Manning won a Super Bowl, right? All of those quarterbacks, every single one of them, not one of them, beat Kansas City at any point from the time the Broncos won Super Bowl 50 till now, right? Going into the 16th meeting of a 15-game losing skid since Peyton Manning played for the Denver Broncos. That is a long time. And that does not happen in this league. And you could be a lousy team, but every now and then you're bound to get something. The ball is bound to roll your way at some point. But Patrick Mahomes has a lot to do with it. Andy Reid has a lot to do with it. But the inability of the Denver Broncos to find the right quarterback is definitely part of that problem. But still, it's kind of like, you know, do I think that the Broncos can beat Kansas City with this group of cast of characters? Absolutely not. Not a chance. That defense can't stop anything. Anything. And this is, the entire team is a mess. So it's very likely on Thursday night it's going to be 16 straight. But rivalry is a rivalry when there's a little bit of like both sides getting some games. This is starting to disappear for the Denver Broncos. Boy, what an amazing fall from grace that team has had since from a Super Bowl to nothing.
An
incredible plunge.
You know, and then individualize it too. I mean, we're not there with Sean Payton yet, but we're certainly there with Russell Wilson.
Right.
I mean, it has just been disastrous.
It's so wild to see, because you don't see teams win Super Bowls or go to Super Bowls and then disappear for 7 years.
Yeah,
like you can see a team go, hey, you know what? We put all of our chips in. We went to the Super Bowl, won it. Now that we have to pay for those chips, but 3 or 4 years later, they're back in the playoffs. Broncos have not been in the playoffs since winning Super Bowl 50. We're going to Super Bowl 58.
What about losing the playoffs, like the Falcons?
Yeah.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, rolling along this morning. Glad you could be with us. Hit me up on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. I opened the show talking about Dallas and Dak Prescott. Comments made by Jerry Jones. I don't read much into them. I know people love to read.
What are you talking about? They're going to the Super Bowl, Tony.
Yeah. He thinks Dak Prescott's the guy that takes him there.
This year.
Yep. Where we want to go. That's where we want to go.
I would be curious. I have to assume that Dallas is going to be hosting another Super Bowl again soon.
I hope so.
Somewhere down the road?
Let's look at I'm going to look at that up. Future Super Bowl sites. Because I think... And they have not been given one yet.
No, I don't think so either. And the only reason why I bring this up is because you remember when the Super Bowl was in Dallas the last time?
Super Bowl 45.
That was Jerry's Super Bowl. That was, I mean, the Cowboys had to go.
Yes. He wanted to be the first team to play in their own stadium.
Yeah.
And unfortunately for him, later on, Tom Brady got that, and then Matt Stafford got that.
Repeated a year later.
Yeah.
So I'm just
something
curious.
We had not seen for like 50-plus Super Bowls, we saw in back-to-back years. The home team going to the Super Bowl and winning the Super Bowl.
What, the 49ers don't count, Tony?
Yeah, no, the 49ers don't count. unless they played one game at Stanford Stadium during the season, they don't count. Neither do the Rams when they played in Pasadena.
True.
That's right.
But
so here's the future Super Bowl locations. Next year, it's going to be in New Orleans at the Superdome, but I don't have a 2026 Super Bowl yet.
Oh.
On this list.
What are they waiting for?
I don't know. What are they waiting for? Why are we not? Why have we not figured that out for a future Super? Why have we not given out the Super Bowl for 2026 yet?
Yeah, don't they usually do like three or four in advance?
Check another site just to make sure I've got it right. Oh no, they do. Levi's Stadium in Santa Clara. So Super Bowl 58 will be this year in Las Vegas, and then you've got the New Orleans Super Bowl in 2025, and then you've got 2026 Levi's Stadium in Santa Clara.
Oh, so can the Niners
Jerry Jones better be on this. Right. Jerry Jones better be on top of this.
Yeah.
Get that.
I'm curious though. I mean, if there is, I would be curious if these comments would still be the same if Dallas was hosting the Super Bowl this year. The only reason why I say that is, I mean, I know they don't really have an alternative or a choice, but if he knows it was coming up, would he decide to throw his chips into another basket to put together a team that could lead him to the Super Bowl? Because, I mean, essentially, I mean,
how would they do that?
I have no idea.
Like,
but
like,
it's Jerry.
No. It's, well, don't just say it's Jerry.
I'm saying it's Jerry.
But don't just say that because he's not. He doesn't have a magic wand to create available awesome quarterbacks that can come.
I don't know if he would go out and shop for one and bring one in.
That the big question. The reason I'm bringing that up, it's not to disparage your argument, but the overall point is that something we've discussed all the time. They're just not out there.
Yeah,
they don't exist. This is what I tell fan bases all the time when they go, "Hey man, we got to get rid of Ryan Tannehill here in Nashville." Then who? If you want to start with, like, if you want to grow Malik Willis or you want to grow Will Levis, I can understand that argument. But if you think there's somebody sitting at a home in Palm Beach who's a Hall of Fame level quarterback and he just can't find a job, the person doesn't exist.
Yeah, and then on that note too, if you really think that you could afford to trade for someone,
you're not trading for anybody. There's no team that is going to give you Joe Burrow.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like.
Why was I thinking Joe Burrow as well?
Right. So
out of all the really good quarterbacks,
you can say it's Jerry, but Jerry's not a trillionaire. He's not going to call up the Cincinnati Bengals and go, "I'll give you $500 billion for Joe Burrow this season." That owner is like, "I'm in the same boat as you, Jerry. I'm in a salary cap. You may be more wealthy with oil or whatever, but you can only use that money. You can only use that money, the same amount of money I use in the business."
I think it's this too. I don't think it would be monetary. If there is an asking price out there for like a Joe Burrow, Pat Mahomes, Justin Herbert, if there is an asking price. No, but I'm saying if there was, it probably starts with like five first round picks.
Right. But that's a common fallacy to believe that Jerry is like the Svengali mastermind.
Right.
He's not. He's stuck. That's why he made those comments too.
But maybe
he's
it's not a quarterback then. Maybe I know, but maybe it's then it's, my overall thing about this would be, what kind of team would he put together? Would he have gone out and shopped for a different running back or a different wide receiver? Would he have brought in more talent? I don't know what he could do.
I think
it's a decent team on the field.
I would amend your argument to say, like, while Jerry Jones would love to win a Super Bowl at AT&T Stadium, let's amend that to Jerry Jones really just wants to win a Super Bowl.
True.
I don't think the location matters to him. He's at an age where he just wants to see this again in his lifetime.
And he's probably tired of the narrative, because I'm sure he's heard of it, that all across the country it's, we all know the Cowboys haven't been there in 30 years.
Yeah.
And we love to bring it up.
Imagine 30 years. 30 years of not getting back to the game.
Now, for some teams, that's, that's like normal.
We're approaching 28 Super Bowls since Dallas hasn't been there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, Super Bowl 30 was their last appearance in the Super Bowl. We're approaching Super Bowl 58. In 2 years, it'll be Super Bowl 60.
Maybe that'll be the one they get to.
Maybe that's the one they get to. When it's when it really lands on the 30 years?
Yeah.
In 2026? But that's insane.
But it's funny. For a team like them. For other teams, it's like, you'll get there eventually. Some have never been there, obviously. But, I think of the Jets. I don't know, how long has it been since the Jets been there? Since 69, right?
69.
So I don't. I mean, I'm not going to do math.
Yeah, no.
In
don't
my
get
head
me
right
wrong.
Now.
I'm not going to. Don't cry me a river for the Cowboy fan that hasn't been there in 30
right.
years. Lions have never been, and we've had 58 Super Bowls.
Yeah,
they've never been once.
Chargers have never been there either.
Right? Ha ha ha! Don't bring up the Chargers in Super Bowl 29 because Dennis Gibson batting down the Neil O'Donnell pass still freaks me out.
I know it stings you, but
that was a heavily favored Steelers team they beat.
But that's why I only bring it up because they haven't been to a Super Bowl either. Yeah, it may say that in the stat sheets and you know the history books, but they weren't really there.
Right, they weren't. But then again, if the Steelers had won that AFC championship, they would have probably gotten smoked too by Steve.
Well, and I think we're headed towards. I don't want to get ahead of myself here, but we might be heading towards something like that again.
No, I don't know. I don't know. They're doing it to the AFC, the 49ers. I don't know if they play Kansas City. I think it'll be a good game.
Yeah.
I think it would be a good game. I don't think the 49ers
I just don't see the Niners having competition in the NFC.
I think they would beat the Eagles if they played them straight up.
Yeah.
I thought they would have beat the Eagles last year.
So did
I. If Brock Purdy was healthy. I thought they were playing way better than, and Philadelphia was playing great. I mean, Jalen Hurts was an MVP level player. But I thought 49ers, I leaned towards the 49ers in that game before Brock Purdy got hurt. But you know what? It does bring an interesting conversation to the AFC because the temperature of the teams that we thought were going to have these stellar years that gave us an AFC that was just going to pop with excellence. If you're taking the temperature is not really, not really that cooking right now.
Preseason, right? I think we could have made the argument like the AFC needs to expand to 10 playoff teams.
Yeah.
To be fair, because there's going to be three teams looking out going,
oh,
dude, we would have made it in the NFC easily.
No doubt.
Why are we sitting out?
There were three teams in the AFC East with Aaron Rodgers yeah. now joining the Jets, and the AFC North had Baltimore and Cincinnati, and maybe Cleveland would get up there, and Pittsburgh was probably not going to have a losing season. Jacksonville, Tennessee wasn't quite going to go away. The Chargers and the Chiefs and the AFC West. Oh, yeah, there was all
then
these
we
teams.
Thought the Broncos.
Yeah, you go around. Whose pulse is really pounding right now? It's probably
right.
the Dolphins. Right?
Dolphins have kept the narrative. The Bills have kept the narrative.
Yeah, but the Bills.
They're this weird up and down team right now.
Showed up to London half asleep.
Well, that was stupid.
Right?
That was stupid.
Little too exhausted.
But yeah,
right?
I mean,
but you're right. The Bills were averaging, 41 points a game on offense before they got to London on like 10 seconds before the game started.
I think they landed, and it was
one
of those
into the stadium.
It's one of those because we always see. I don't know if I'd ever want to fly into Heathrow after seeing all the only videos I ever see are planes coming in sideways.
Yeah,
because of the wind. So I think I would rather swim across the channel.
You know what's funny about that? The Tennessee Titans and the Baltimore Ravens are playing this weekend at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium.
They're already there?
Yeah. No, the Ravens are. The Titans aren't leaving until Thursday night.
Oh, so, they're
same thing.
They're taking out of the same playbook. That's great.
Right. I know.
That's a fantastic idea.
Taking the red eye, landing in on Friday, going through a walkthrough Friday, and then getting ready for Sunday's game.
If you're Vegas, are you upping that number? Are you taking that in consideration that,
maybe.
Hey, we saw what the Bills did. The Bills are, I think on paper are much better than the Jaguars are.
Yeah.
I don't know. The Titans, the Ravens are probably favorites anyways. But I think this, maybe you go double digits.
Interesting. All right, we will continue along. Hey, good, the bad, and the dumb coming up. We'll also talk to Liam McHugh. NHL started last night. Three games, including Connor Bedard, the 18-year-old Blackhawk, making his NHL debut. And so we got that coming up for you. We'll talk to Gabe Lax about Major League Baseball. It's all coming up as Wake Up Call continues.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. Philip on Twitter. If you expand to 10 teams, then you'll have one team that barely misses that spot, and then 2 years later, they'll try to expand to 12 teams, and then 14. It's college football playoff all over again. Yes, I didn't. Yep.
Yeah.
Get it. I agree. That's one of the reasons why I don't mind college football, for example, expanding to 12, but at some point, we all as a society, we have got to say no more because there's too much whining from the 13th team that didn't get in. Like, we have to stop. Like when people are talking about college basketball going to 128, it makes my brain melt. Like, why don't we just let everybody play?
Yeah. Yeah. How many basketball teams are there? I thought there weren't. Are there 128 schools in Division One?
There's like 300 in basketball, but not in football. You're right about football. Football is around 120 something, but in basketball, there's like all these other, you know, all these other smaller conferences. Like the Missouri Valley Conference in basketball is in, but like it's not in the, it's not going to be considered for the playoff.
Yeah.
In college football, but the problem that I have is that we have this, we have a sympathetic culture at times when it comes to sports, where we say, oh, those kids played really hard, and they don't get a chance to be in the playoffs because they just barely got. Well, too bad. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be harsh, but at some point you got to put a limit on this. And when you have, I think it's going to happen in college football, where you're going to have Paul Feinbaum on my television screaming about the 13th SEC team that didn't get into the playoff. He's like screaming for a mediocre Vanderbilt team to get in. Like, I don't need it. I don't want Dick Vitale doing it. And I don't want Paul Feinbaum doing it. It's like some point you go, no, that's it. But you know why they can do it and why you don't see it in other sports? Because it's one of those, it's determined by committee. It's not determined by a set criteria that you can use. I know. I remember when I was, when I was first in radio and then, early 90s, you know, we didn't have the internet. So whenever I had a question about things, I used to have to kind of ask people I knew. And for whatever reason, I don't know how he knew this, but my father knew every single like tie-breaking thing the NFL used when it came to determining playoff positioning. I think because he was a Giants fan and he probably studied up on it, meaning there were a couple of years the Giants probably were looking like they were going to need these. But I remember a salesperson came to me. This was like 94. I want to say 94. A salesperson came to me and said, hey, can you do me a favor? I got a client that wants to jump in on our Patriots coverage, and they want to know what will it take for the Patriots to make the playoffs. Now, if you do it today, that's easy. Like, you just jump on the computer. Somebody's already done that for you on the internet when you get to like week 14 or 13. But back then, I had to go find all the schedules. I had to do it by hand, like, which is really hard to do. But I remember I called my father at his office and I had to say, hey, I got a problem. I'm trying to figure this out. How does the tie breaking work? If you're in the division, it's like, well, it's head to head. Then it's this, and this is like, he knew the whole thing. We used to have to do that. If you were a football fan back before, now it's so simple, but that's how you used to do it. You used to figure it out. That criteria, we may not like the fact that it comes down to coin flip, like number 7 on the list, but we accept it. We go, this is how it's supposed to be, right? And in college football and in college basketball, outside of winning your conference tournament in the basketball tournament, meaning like if I win the Sun Belt conference tournament, I get in, every other spot, every other at-large spot is determined by a committee. So what happens is that Jay Billis and Dick Vitale can yell about an omission, even if that omission really didn't deserve to be in there in the first place. And that's going to happen in college football. We'll get to 12. We're already doing it with 4. But 4 is okay, because like the 5th team that doesn't get in, you could be like, well, that's one of the better teams in the nation. By the time you get to 13, like, really? Am I going to lose sleep over some team at 13 not getting out instead of a team that's 12? I can't imagine that. We're going to do that, but we're going to do that. That's how we roll. So speaking of college football, Deion Sanders is playing Friday night. He gets the late night Stanford game on Friday. And Travis Hunter should be available for the Buffaloes. In case you were wondering where he's been the last 3 games, he had a lacerated liver. Now that to me sounds awful.
That sounds, yeah.
I'm not a medical guy. But that sounds horrific. Like, if I had a lacerated liver, I'd probably be dead. But he's going to come back to play Friday night against Stanford. And the Buffaloes will likely win that game. And then the Deion stuff will start really cranking up a bit. So, nevertheless, college football on Friday night's weird, isn't it? Like, Thursday night I don't mind. But that used to be high school territory.
Yeah.
I used to kind of go, We respect the game. Now, that's high school time.
Well, no, because high school football hasn't wound down yet. I was thinking, do they do the same thing that the NFL does to them? Like, as soon as high school starts to wind down, college goes, oh, Friday's open.
Yeah, Friday's open.
But right. We're in the middle. I mean, we're just, kind of dead smack in the middle of fall ball.
Yeah, like Memphis is playing at home. Yeah. Utah State's playing at home. Colorado State's playing. Again, I don't mind Thursday.
Yeah, it's weird. Yeah. It's a weird taste.
Yeah, but nevertheless. So
why don't they expand to Tuesdays and Wednesdays? Wasn't that Mac?
Yeah, they have Tuesday night games. They just had a bunch of Tuesday night games. Like MTSU played, Appalachian State played, Liberty played. So there's been some Tuesday night games. They're kind of spreading the wealth a little bit. It's just smaller, not bigger.
Not name brand.
Yeah, but it is exposure for conferences that are not going to get it. Under the tremendous weight of everybody else.
That's why I was bringing up the Mac. I thought
Mac Wednesdays.
Mac Wednesdays. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Knew there was a day.
Yeah. That was always awesome because it was like, cool. If you like Mac football, you got a day where it's going to be on television. Going to be on big TV. Big time TV. So.
Helps for recruiting.
I have to say this about college football this season. It doesn't feel like there's anybody really exploding. Like really, really good. There isn't an Alabama. Georgia has been so vulnerable or has looked so vulnerable. There isn't a team that is like, wow, this is the standard. Georgia had it for a couple of years. Alabama had it for a couple of years. I'm wondering if I wonder if in the end it's going to be Michigan. Like, when will the voters go, you know what? Let's just be honest here. Michigan's playing better football than Georgia. Let's just give it to them. I'm curious about the committee. Committee is supposed to ignore these things because...
I actually love that you're bringing this up. Is Georgia the quietest number one team we've had in recent memory,
right? In the last couple of years, yeah. Because when Georgia was number one a couple of years ago, you really knew it.
Yeah. Right?
Stetson Bennett and the defense was awesome. They're playing these games where they're
Are they televised? I'm saying that kind of jokingly. I know they are, but... I don't feel like they're being shoved down my throat like they're the prime time game. I mean,
yeah, they're playing some afternoon games. They're not playing the big night SEC under the lights in Athens kind of games. Now, they went to Auburn 2 weeks ago and struggled a bit against Auburn, but they did level Kentucky. They scored 51 points on Kentucky. But, they had 10-point win against South Carolina that's going to finish with probably 6 wins this season. They got off to slow starts and then kicked it into gear in their non-conference games. But there will be a point where I wonder if the voters will say, Michigan's really, really playing well. And if they're, but when you make a team number one, if you vote a team number one, if they keep winning, you tend to just leave them there. Because it's a little bit about, if you're an AP voter, that's who you believed at the beginning of the season. And you rode with that till the end. And same thing with the coaches. They went with the team that was defending champs that looked like they were just as loaded again. They made them number one. And even if other teams may be playing a little bit better or you feel like they're playing a little better, well, Georgia hasn't really done anything to tell you otherwise. Like I said, they had a big top 25 matchup against Kentucky and they ripped them apart. All right, so they stay number one. And they got Vanderbilt coming up in their next schedule. So, that should be pretty easy. But I don't feel like there has been a team that's like, okay, that's the standard bearer for the season. I just don't feel that yet. I mean, Florida State is one of those teams that I really like, but I'm not 100% behind. I feel like Ohio State is very, very good, but there's been, they needed a late surge to beat Maryland. That game was kind of tight going into the fourth quarter. I mean, are we buying Oklahoma? That was a nice win. Are we buying Oklahoma as the best team in the Big 12?
No.
Right?
Not yet.
Not yet. Penn State's got a fantastic quarterback. Washington and Oregon play this weekend. I mean, what a way for the Pac-12 to just completely head into demolition. This is the best season of Pac-12 football I have seen in the last decade.
I can't remember the last time they had this many ranked teams.
I mean, seriously.
And legitimately ranked teams, too, by the way.
The two top teams in the conference are playing each other this weekend, and neither one of those teams is USC. Like, that's fantastic. Michael Penix against Bo Nix in Seattle coming up this weekend. I mean, fantastic. Pac-12. Rest in peace, Pac-12. final year going out with a bang. This is like a 104-year-old grandmother skydiving.